Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello and welcome everybody to another edition of the RTC Weekly Download. Well, today we have a request, and it's great to have requests. If you do have a request, you can send it in to our Facebook page or to our Twitter site for the Weekly Download, or you can send it to this email, radioent@gmail.com, and just mark that as a request, and then we'll see if we can get that together and get it on here for you in an upcoming week. But concerning our request, it's for a kid's show, Straight Arrow, and we'll have that. It's called The Sands of Gold from 1950. We're also going to have two other kid's shows, Dr. Tim Detective and The Challenge of the Yukon. But first, let's start with Straight Arrow, and this is The Sands of Gold from February 7th, 1950.
Nabisco, Nabisco is the name to know. For a breakfast you can't beat, eat Nabisco shredded wheat. Keen eyes fixed on a flying target, a gleaming arrow set against a rawhide string, a strong bow bent almost to the breaking point, and then... Straight Arrow! Nabisco Shredded Wheat presents Straight Arrow, a new thrilling adventure story from the exciting days of the Old West. To friends and neighbors alike, Steve Adams appeared to be nothing more than the young owner of the Broken Bow cattle spread. But when danger threatened innocent people, and when evildoers plotted against justice, then Steve Adams' rancher disappeared. And in his place came a mysterious, stalwart Indian, wearing the dress and war paint of a Comanche, riding the great golden Palomino Fury. Galloping out of the darkness to take up the cause of law and order throughout the West, comes the legendary figure of Straight Arrow. The Sonora Diggings in the Red Mountains, north of the Broken Bow, was a raw mining camp built of canvas tents and tar paper shacks. Word of gold nuggets discovered in a mountain stream had brought a rush of prospectors, but no further discoveries were made, and Sonora dwindled down to about 50 of the most stubborn who still kept searching. But sitting under the open flap of a tent close to the wagon trail, two men discussed it secretly.
You certain of that, Spike? You're positive it's gold?
I'm certain, Rackley. That ledge up behind the gravel slope. I stumbled over it this morning real early.
Nobody else knows about it yet?
No, but it's on land that's already been claimed. That's why I come to you, Rackley.
Why?
You just arrived in Sonora. Nobody knows you. You're a smart hombre who never did an honest day's work in your life.
What's that?
Oh, now, don't get your dander up. You know what I mean.
Oh, you mean the only way to grab off that gold is by hook or crook, huh?
Yeah.
It won't be easy to make these here prospectors just up and leave their claims behind.
All that gold, Rackley, it's worth it, I tell you. Whatever your scheme you cook up, it's got to be real slick. These prospectors ain't fools. Any day one of them's bound... Hey, what are you staring at?
The gent riding in that wagon, Spike.
Hmm?
I've seen him before.
I ain't. A stranger to Sonora.
I knew him back east. He used to be a doctor.
The Sawbones?
Yeah. Lost the patient and blamed himself. And now he's nothing but a tumbleweed.
Oh, hold it!
Mister, I'll get off here.
And suit yourself, stranger. You sure picked a dead enough spot. No, it's no place for a wide-awake gent.
Still toting that little black bag of his. That's him, all right. Doc Hawthorne.
What's all this got to do with us getting that gold?
Plenty, Spike. He showed up at just the right time. Tonight, after dark, you and me are calling on Doc Hawthorne. Hey, don't move. Just sit tight, Hawthorne. This is a bowie knife right in your ribs.
Who are you?
I have nothing worth stealing.
Me and Spike ain't here for that.
Then what is it? There's something about your voice.
Yeah. We met before, Doctor.
Doctor? I'm not a doctor.
No? Kick up that fire, Spike.
Yeah.
Hey, now you can make me out, Hawthorne.
Rackley.
Yep.
That patient I lost back east. You were the...
Yeah, I was your orderly. Too bad you lost him, Doc. Awful careless of you.
Don't mention it. I've been trying to forget it.
Hawthorne, suppose I spread it around Sonora that you are Sawbones.
No. No, I've given up the practice of medicine. You mustn't speak of it. I've been disgraced enough.
Easy does it, Hawthorne. I'll make a deal with you.
A deal?
Yeah, Doc. Me and Spike got a little scheme cooked up.
I won't do anything dishonest.
You won't have to do nothing at all. Just play along, savvy?
Keep my identity secret, Rackley. That's all I ask. Keep it secret.
Sure, just like you say. You can hold up right here in your tent. I'm going to borrow that black bag of yours, Doc. For the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be the doctor.
What's that, Doc? If I don't savvy, I figured all I had was a cough.
I don't want to alarm you, but it might be worse. You stay in bed. It might be a heap sight worse.
Yeah, I do feel a mite under the weather. If you're a doctor...
I am, sister. You ain't the only one who's sick in these here diggings. Looks like to me there's some sort of epidemic.
It's spreading through the whole camp. I feel mighty poorly.
Epidemic. Pack up and vamoose.
My husband came here searching for gold. Now he's sick.
If you ask me, it's an epidemic. Pack up and vamoose. Everybody's getting scared. That doc won't say nothing, but...
Goodness.
It's spreading, getting worse. Pack up and vamoose.
And finally, while Steve Adams, Packy, and Mesquite were out riding in the direction of Sonora...
Land's sake. What in Sassafras going on? Look at that, Steve. A whole passel of folks riding mules and horses. Ain't they coming from Sonora?
Looks that way, Mesquite.
Why, Cactus, that's the first time ever I seen folks stampeding away from a gold town.
Well, there must be a reason for it. They look frightened, Steve.
Well, they're coming closer. Maybe we can find out what it's about.
Hey! Hey there! What's wrong? What's wrong? Why have you left Sonora?
Land of Ocean, see? I can't make out what they're saying.
I did. They said plague.
Plague?
The plague? Steve.
No wonder they're all pulling out of Sonora. It's been hit by the plague.
Say, gang, you want to know a foolproof way to make you wake up with a smile and jump out of bed in a hurry? Well, tonight or any night, just remind Mother you're going to want a Straight Arrow breakfast of Nabisco shredded wheat, sugar, and milk. Why, those crisp, golden shredded wheat biscuits look so good and taste so wonderful, you'll be raring to get to that breakfast table the minute you wake up. Now, of course, what makes Nabisco shredded wheat so extra swell is that good, golden Western wheat it's made of. Every spoonful's a spoonful of grand whole wheat flavor. And when you take an extra helping of those Nabisco shredded wheat biscuits, you're helping yourself to extra pep and go. Yes, sir, you're getting a breakfast standby that stands by you all morning. So for a real Straight Arrow breakfast that tastes fine and packs a load of energy, tell Mother to get the Niagara Falls package of the original shredded wheat. That's Nabisco shredded wheat. Rackley's scheme to take over the Sonora claims in order to grab off all the gold is working out perfectly. By spreading word that the mining camp has been hit by a deadly plague, he and Spike have started a frantic stampede out of town.
Doc. Doc Rackley. That's rich, ain't it, Spike?
Yeah. You and that little black bag of Hawthorne sure put folks in a panic.
Does Hawthorne savvy what we've been up to?
I don't know, Rackley. He ain't left the tent yonder. Why, do you think he crosses up?
I don't know.
He might have heard folks talking.
He might.
Rackley, everybody's pulled out. It's only the three of us left in Sonora.
What are you getting at?
Do we want to split the gold with anybody else?
You mean Hawthorne?
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. We'd better get rid of him, Rackley.
Spike, I reckon you're right. And there's no time like right now. Keep your gun handy. As soon as he pokes his head out of the tent, pull trigger.
Yeah.
Hey, Hawthorne!
Maybe he's asleep.
Must be. Then we can bury him right in his blankets. Come on, Spike. Wake up, Hawthorne.
Rackley, he's gone. Well, see for yourself. Empty. He's cleared out.
Why that, Henry?
Look there. On the back of the tent.
Yeah. Cut a slit in the canvas and slipped out.
It's the marks of his boots. Tracks are fresh, Rackley. Couldn't happen more than just a few seconds. Hey, what the...
Hold your fire, Spike.
But that's him.
It's too dark. You'd just be wasting bullets. We'll catch up with him and then finish him off. Come on, Pronto.
Meanwhile, all that afternoon, Mesquite Molly had been trying to make up her mind.
Plague in Sonora. All them folks leaving. But there must be other folks still there. Sick folks that need nursing.
While Steve and Packy were busy out on the range, she debated what to do. Until finally...
Danger or no danger, I can't sit here doing nothing while folks need attention. I'll leave a note for Steve and Packy. They'll understand.
There's Hawthorne now, Rackley. Heading up that slope.
Here, hold your fire. He can't get away from us now. That pony he's riding is plumb tuckered out.
Reckon we can catch him?
Look, his pony's quitting now. He's found it. It's no use, Hawthorne.
He's scrambling on foot.
Use your lasso.
Yeah, let me get a loop now.
Get away from me.
No. Get
there. Oh. Where?
Whoa, whoa. Oh.
Yeah. Nice toss, Spike. You caught him right around the neck.
Well, steady, you rough-haired cayuse.
Well, Hawthorne, making a break for it, was you?
I don't know what you mean.
Found out what we was up to, eh?
Yes, I did.
What'd you have in mind? You figured to ride out to that mob and tell them to come back?
If I hadn't been so wrapped up in myself, I'd have realized sooner.
Realized what?
You know very well why. Somehow you located a valuable gold vein. But the claim owner's gone?
Yeah, they're gone right enough. And so will you be in just one second.
You're going to kill me.
You're a smart hombre, Doc.
Perhaps. But I really don't care.
You don't, huh?
I have nothing left to live for. All my life I worked to be a doctor. And now...
Sure, we'll write something like that on your gravestone. Say your prayers, Hawthorne. You're
dying. Hey, Rackley.
Don't bother me, Spike. Can't you
see? Listen, somebody's traveling fast, heading this way.
Help!
Bless you, hard one.
Rackley, that rider's coming straight for us. What are we going to do?
Just follow my lead. I'll handle this. Howdy there.
Now, what is that? Whoa,
up
there.
Well, I'll be a female.
Yeah, I didn't expect to run across anybody this side of Sonora. Well, who's that?
How's that, ma'am?
At your feet, that man. He's not...
Dead? Oh, no, ma'am. What was you said about Sonora?
That's where I'm bound for.
Now, ma'am, haven't you heard of...
About the plague? Yes, I have. But I understand there's a doctor there. There are people who might need nursing, so I thought...
Oh, that's right. Brave of you, ma'am. And, about this gent here. He's got it.
The plague?
Yeah. Poor fellow went out of his head. Spike and I had to come after him and knock him out.
You did?
Of course, ma'am. The plague. Can't let him get loose. He'll carry it with him wherever he goes.
Yes, that's so. Poor feller. But who are you? You must be the doctor.
Yes, indeed. That's just who I am. Dr. Rackley, ma'am. Now, you better head back where you came from.
No.
Ma'am, it's dangerous. The plague
is... I know all about that, doctor. But I'm willing to face it.
I see.
Besides, I'm not the only one. I left word for Steve Adams and Packy.
What's that? Well, who are they?
From the Broken Bow Ranch. I told them I was heading for Sonora to fight this year plague. And if I know them two, they'll do the very same thing as soon as they read my note.
Do you think they've read it by now?
Well, they must have. I left before dark.
Well, that's
just...
too bad, ma'am.
Hey, what are you doing? Well, you're punching
that Spike,
gun.
Use that rope. Tie her up.
What are you...
Put me your lip, sister. This rope goes on you and it stays.
What does this mean? You're not a doctor. And that man on the ground...
He doesn't have the plague. You're right, ma'am. You wanted to go to Sonora, did you? Well, that's just where you're going, Savvy.
You and Hawthorne here.
You won't get away with it. Stephen, Patrick.
Whoever they are, let them come. We'll be ready for them. We'll be ready for them plenty.
Mesquite and the unconscious Hawthorne were quickly hurried back to Sonora and placed in one of the many mining tunnels that were worked into the face of the cliff. And an hour later, as Steve and Packy approached along the wagon trail...
There's your town right up ahead, Steve.
Yeah, Packy.
By cactus, if Mesquite Molly can stand it, I reckon you and me...
Wait up, Packy. A man on the trail right ahead of us. Whoa. Mister, who are you, and what's the idea of pulling trigger?
I'm Dr. Rackley. I pulled trigger for your own protection, gentlemen. This town is plague-ridden. Nobody can enter.
You mean you're keeping folks out?
For your own good.
You say your name is Rackley?
Yes, Dr. Rackley. Why?
Oh, no reason. Come on, Packy, let's go.
Yeah, but Steve, what about Mesquite? Hey, say, Doc, what happened to Mesquite Molly?
Who?
Packy's talking about our housekeeper. We found a note saying she was coming here. Have you seen her?
No.
But dagnabbit, she must...
I'm sorry. No one by that name has come to Sonora. There's a wagon trail behind you, gentlemen. Turn your horses and start out. And keep right on going.
Let's go, Packy. Adios, mister.
Steve, I don't savvy. If Mesquite didn't go to that there mining camp, then where in the blazes did she go?
Packy, that man who stopped us is no more a doctor than I am.
He ain't. Ho, ho, ho. Steve, you mean he's a crook or something?
Maybe.
And you mean that... You mean Mesquite is in Sonora?
We were following her trail.
My cactus, the polecat. Come on, Steve.
Easy, partner. Easy.
But we gotta go back and...
And what? Run into an ambush? Packy, that hombre wasn't alone. There was another man up on the ridge with a rifle. I saw the barrel gleaming in the moonlight.
But what have they done with Mesquite Molly?
That's why we left.
Huh?
We couldn't locate her this way, Packy. That man knows us. He'll be watching for us.
Kino, but still, Steve, you mean straight air?
Yeah. There are many things an Indian can do that a white man can't. If those hombres are up to something, they'll be on the alert for white men, not an Indian. Come along, Packy. The Sundown Valley and the Hidden Cave.
Get up, Packy.
But while Steve Adams gallops for Sundown Valley to take up his role as Straight Arrow beside the wagon trail outside Sonora...
We gotta do it, Spike. The sooner the better.
Those two gents rode away, rightly. They don't suspect nothing.
They will when that Mesquite female doesn't appear back at that Broken Bow Ranch. No, Spike, we can't take chances. Hawthorne and Mesquite female are the only ones that might talk. We gotta take care of them. Make certain they never talk.
Say, that Straight Arrow is really on the ball, isn't he? Just as alert and filled with pep and go as all the boys and girls who enjoy a Straight Arrow breakfast of Nabisco shredded wheat each morning. Now, if you haven't already, why don't you try delicious Nabisco shredded wheat, sugar, and milk for your breakfast tomorrow? Add some bananas or canned berries if you like. Now, there's the breakfast standby that stands by you. Because Nabisco shredded wheat is pure, sun-ripened western wheat, flavor-filled with all nature's goodness, and chock-full of vitamins and minerals. Ask Mother to get you Nabisco shredded wheat tomorrow. You'll want it for breakfast each and every day of the year after that. Make sure you get the big Niagara Falls package. That tells you it's the original shredded wheat. Nabisco shredded wheat. The breakfast standby that stands by you. A short distance from the Broken Bow Ranch house lay Sundown Valley, and in it, through a secret entrance known only to Steve Adams and Packy, a vast subterranean cave. The walls of the cave glitter with crystals of gold. From an unknown source comes light that spreads a shimmering gleam everywhere. And standing in the glowing light is a great golden palomino. A Comanche bow and Comanche arrows hang on the wall. There is Comanche war paint, Comanche garb. In a moment, Steve Adams' rancher is gone. And in his place...
Yes, Curry, it is I, Straight Arrow.
A clatter of hoofs in the vast vaulted cave. An Indian war whoop that rings from the glittering rock. Out into the open gallops the great golden Palomino Fury. And riding bareback, clad in Indian garb from head to toe, Straight Arrow on the trail of justice.
suppose.
Steady, Fury, steady. This is close enough, Palomino. There is Sonora below us, clear in the moonlight. What is that? Closer, Fury. Oh, steady. So, two men near the bottom of the cliff. One of them is Rackley. Cannot see what they are doing, but I... Yes, a tunnel in the cliff. Steady. Wait here, Stallion. Make no sound. I must hurry.
That does it. Spike.
Coming, boss.
Well, Spike, you got the fuse all planted, leading right to this here tunnel?
Yeah, all set, Rackley. I see you got the gunpowder tamped into the rock already.
Yeah, and the hull business right in front of a couple of wide-eyed spectators.
Rackley, listen to me.
No use begging for your life, Doc.
Not my life. I don't give a hang. Mine's wasted anyway, but you've no call to murder this woman.
Murder, huh?
Let her go. Set her free, Rackley. Kill me if you have to, but...
Papa, save your breath.
They'll let you go, Misty.
That pair of buzzards? Not a chance.
Ma'am, you got a sharp edge to that tongue of yours.
All you two care about is gold.
Now, that's a real smart figuring. Matter of fact, when this blast goes off, it'll serve two purposes. It'll be your finish, and it'll also expose that vein of gold ore me and Spike found.
That gold doesn't belong to you.
Sure it does, Doc. Everybody else is gone.
Because you tricked them.
All finished, Rackley.
The fuse tied in?
Yeah.
All we do is go back to the other end and set a match to it and
for the explosion.
Yeah. Come on, Rackley. Let's get it over with.
Yes, Spike. Adios to both of you. I'm taking this pine torch with me. Hope you don't mind the dark. Oh, say, one more thing before you die. Hawthorne, you know that patient of yours back east?
What about him?
It wasn't your fault he passed on. It was my fault.
What? What are you saying?
I was your orderly, wasn't I? I gave him the wrong medicine, Doc. It was my mistake, not yours. Just
Rackley.
Thought I'd let you know.
Rackley! His mistake. His. And all the time I blamed myself.
Now, don't take on, mister.
I gave up the practice of medicine. I gave up everything.
Mister, this ain't no time for regrets about the past. Here in the dark, you and me are just about to meet our maker.
Huh?
The gunpowder. They're going out, sets off.
Oh, yes, for a moment I... Yes, Miss Keith. Now that I have everything to live for, now I'm going to die.
Same here. And I don't relish it one bit. Doc, it's no use. They're tough as rawhide. All we can do is sit here and say our prayers until... What's that?
I hear nothing.
I do.
The sputter of the fuse.
I don't know. It's all fire dark. Well, if we could only see...
Mesquite Molly.
Nancy, who...
It is I, Mesquite. Straight arrow.
Straight arrow. Praise be. The red man, you're too late. They let out to set off the blast. They must have lit the fuse already. They'll get all of us now. Hawthorne and me and you too. We're all done for.
That finishes them off, Spike.
Yeah, Rackley. I thought it would never let go.
It let go, all right. Hey, what's biting you?
Nothing.
Ain't you never finished anybody off before this?
It ain't that. It's only...
Only what?
Rackley, I could have swore I saw somebody else go into that tunnel.
Huh?
Just before the explosion.
But you didn't see him come out, did you?
No, he didn't come out.
All right, then, who cares? Two dead or three, what's the difference? Come on, Spike. Let's turn in. Tomorrow we start digging out that gold. That's enough for now. I'm plumb tuckered out.
Yeah, same here. And let's put this lump of ore into the wheelbarrow.
Let it lay, mister.
Hey, what's that?
No, you don't. Oh! Get up, paint horse. You reach for your guns again and I'll blast you to bits.
Mister, who in blazes are you? And what call do you have to come busting in here?
I got plenty. On account of that there gold don't belong to you. It belongs to the folks you flim-flam. All the Sonora prospectors.
You're loco. What prospectors? They're all gone. Ain't nobody here but me and Spike.
Kino, only I'll tell you something, mister. They're all coming back.
Coming back?
Here to Sonora?
Yep, on account of somebody's going to tell him that there weren't any sickness here to begin with. Not any real sickness.
Look here, mister. Where'd you learn all about this? You show up out of the blue. You ain't a lawman. But all of a sudden, you start talking about...
Now, Sprightly, hey, what
no,
are
you doing? Get out of that paddle. No, don't move, mister.
You outsmarted me.
Yeah, you couldn't watch both of us, huh? I don't know how you know and found out so much, Savvy. But me and Spike got rid of a couple of witnesses already. We blasted them to bits with gunpowder. Now I'm going to... my hand!
A gold arrow!
Do not move! That arrow came from my bow. There are many more in my quiver.
A red man!
Lucky you are all right.
No straight arrow, not hurt at all.
My hand! Blast through, red man! You got no right to...
Rackley, behind him! I'm seeing things!
Yeah. Me too. It can't be.
Hello, Rackley.
Hawthorne. Doc Hawthorne.
Not female. But it can't be. Last night...
That's right enough. And if it wasn't for Straight Arrow, he'd be dead and gone. He came into the tunnel just in time. The
fuse was already lighted. Straight Arrow broke it in two. He led us to safety, then afterwards lit the fuse again.
Lit it again? Rackley, I told you it took too long. I told you...
Shut up, Spike. Shut up. We're lit.
Yes, Rackley, you are. Packy, you will ride and bring back the prospectors?
I sure will, Strigger.
Packy, I'm going with you.
Now, Hawthorne, you don't have to bother.
It's no bother at all. As a matter of fact, they may refuse to return unless they're certain there is no plague here in Sonora.
Yes, Hawthorne, and no one can convince them better than you. After all, are you not a doctor?
Straight Arrow, I am. I am indeed. For the first time in many years, I can call myself Dr. Hawthorne.
Now, boys and girls, here's an old friend of yours, the one and only Packy. And I think he has a little pep talk for you. Right, Packy?
Yeah, I reckon that's a good way to put it, partner. Because I'm aiming to mention the pep you fellas and girls can have by packing away a real straight-arrow breakfast of Nabisco shredded wheat. Yes, sir, that'll give you the old ginger and go every time.
Now you're talking, Packy. A straight-arrow breakfast of Nabisco shredded wheat, sugar, and milk certainly gives you the breakfast standby that stands by you all morning long.
Now you're talking, Mr. Bingman. When you fix yourself a big bowl full of them golden biscuits, you're putting away the kind of chow that'll keep you going straight to noontime vittles.
And what's more, boys and girls, Nabisco shredded wheat is made only from pure Western wheat. Sun-ripened grain that's flavor-filled with nature's own goodness and chock-full of vitamins and minerals. Get the Niagara Falls package of the original shredded wheat. That's Nabisco shredded wheat, the breakfast standby that stands by you. Adventures of the Old West, ride with Straight Arrow. And remember, Nabisco, Nabisco is the name to know. For a breakfast you can't beat, eat Nabisco shredded wheat. Listen again Tuesday, same time, same station, for another adventure with Straight Arrow. This program came from Hollywood. Stay tuned now for Bobby Benson's B-Bar-B Riders, which follows over most of these same stations immediately. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
And that was Straight Arrow from 1950. Now it's time for Dr. Tim Detective. And the subject of this week's visit is Poisoner at Large. This is from 1940.
This is Dr. Tim Detective to bring you by transcription the mystery of the Poisoner at Large. It isn't very often these days that you run across a case of wholesale poisoning. But when you do, well, there's never a dull moment until you've tracked the whole thing down. There's nothing worse than to be poisoned, whether you take the wrong medicine out of your medicine cabinet by mistake, or whether it's fed to you by somebody else, as it was in this particular case which came to my attention not so long ago. But I'd better start right at the beginning. Sandy and Jill, they're a couple of my very best friends and helpers, were watching me at work in my laboratory this particular evening, and, as usual, the questions flew thick and fast.
Sure, I get the general idea, but what's that machine for?
It sure makes enough racket.
Well, as I was saying, it's called a centrifuge.
Uh-huh. That explains everything, I guess.
Yeah, I can see it just about as easy as a black sheep in a coal mine. At night.
Okay, kids, I'll back up a little. You see, when you have several kinds of bacteria, or bugs, I guess you'd call them, or when you want to separate one part of a substance from another, you put them in a centrifuge, turn on the switch, and the machine whirls them around at a few thousand revolutions per minute.
Then what happens?
Presto, like this. The centrifuge separates the lighter from the heavier parts. In this case, the bacteria I'm hoping to find from the solution they grew in. And, well, here you are. Look for yourselves.
Hey, it worked.
I'll be darned.
Now, I'll transfer these bacteria to a culture.
Here we go again.
Well, a culture is merely something for the bacteria to grow in and feed from.
Oh.
In this case, I'm going to use the fertilized egg of a chicken. And if the experiment works, I'll soon know if these bacteria can live and grow in living tissue. At other times, the culture might be milk or a sugar solution. Or even a bit of custard pie. It's a way we scientific detectives have of finding out a lot of things.
I don't see much detective work there.
Yeah, you'd be surprised, Sandy. You'd be surprised. Hello.
Hello, Tim. Is that you?
Oh, hello, Jarvis. How are things down at the health department?
Well, we could sure use you right now if you've got the time. We're pretty short-handed, and something's come up I don't like at all. Right in your neighborhood.
Well, anything serious?
14 calls during the last hour, and all from your part of town. Food poisoning, I think.
Any clues?
Not yet. Haven't had time to check thoroughly. Thought you might help there. Like to get out your set of false mustaches and do a little detective work?
Why, Dr. Jarvis, you know us junior G-men have given up disguises. The latest thing is to graft noses on us like a bloodhound.
All right, any way you please. Now, I'll give you a list of the names and addresses of everybody we have that's been reported so far. And let you get to work in your own way.
A few minutes later, Sandy, Jill, and I were mapping out our campaign. Now, some people think it's kind of funny for a combination doctor and detective to count on a couple of kids for help on a case. But let me tell you that those two are just about the most valuable assistants I have. In between phone calls reporting new cases of food poisoning, we outlined the problem and our work.
So you mean you'd like us to get a complete list of everything the sick people ate today?
Exactly. And then by putting those lists together, we ought to find that all of them had one kind of food somewhere along the line, or ate at the same restaurant, perhaps. In other words, you see, we need a common factor to start with.
I get it. You're trying to track down where the food poisoning came from.
Exactly. And that way, we can stop anyone else from eating the contaminated food.
But gee, what is it? Arsenic or rat poisoning or something?
Well, that's what I'm going to find out by a careful laboratory analysis after I visit a couple of those sick people. However, I'm willing to bet that we'll find our old friends, the bacteria, at the bottom of it.
Germs, huh?
Yes. Well, let's get going, kids.
Okay, my list is milk and canned soup and cream pie. Oh, yes. Dr. Kim would like to know where you bought the pie, or if you...
Let's see if I have it right, Mr. Adams. You and your wife ate hamburgers, canned pork and beans, and drank coffee. Dr. Kim told me to ask you where you bought the hamburgers. The rest of the things don't matter.
You didn't eat anything at home, is that right? Now, I'm supposed to find out at which restaurant you ate.
Thanks. Now, let's be sure I have it right. Steak, potatoes, fresh carrots, and chocolate eclairs. Be sure that's everything. Dr. Kim wants to be sure.
Thank you. By the time I arrived home, after looking in on some of the patients, I had enough laboratory material to keep me busy for quite a spell. Samples of food from several homes, minute bits of waste from the patients, and lists similar to those Sandy and Jill were compiling. I went into my laboratory and sat down for a few moments to think. So far, nothing about the case made sense. Except that all those people did have food poisoning. No doubt about that. And some of them were mighty sick indeed. There'd be a lot more if we didn't track down the source of the trouble in a hurry. Stop anyone else from eating the germ-laden fluid. Silently, I went to work. A few minutes later, Sandy and Jill were going over their lists of the food eaten by the poisoned patients with Dr. Jarvis. And as I adjusted my microscope for the umpteenth time, I found what I was looking for. I motioned the others over. Well, here's the criminal.
Seen anything?
Yeah, me too.
They all peered into the microscope. Dr. Jarvis was the first to speak.
Nasty little germ, salmonella.
What, salmonella?
I suppose it accounts for more food poisoning than all the other bacteria put together. Doesn't kill very many people. It sure makes a lot of them plenty sick.
Did you find out where it came from?
Unfortunately, no. There aren't any samples of the food I've tested so far that show its presence. The bacteria you see under the microscope are from the stomach contents of one of the patients.
Well, we're not having too much luck ourselves. Like to hear the reports of the investigation?
I think that's the next step.
Okay, Jill, you've been keeping score. Suppose you start.
Well, there isn't any one food that everybody ate.
No. Wouldn't you know it?
Oh, it's worse than that. There aren't even two kinds of food on everybody's list. I mean, you know, half of them one thing and half another.
Mm-hmm.
Just plain doesn't make sense.
It looks like a dead end from here.
Well, let's do the best we can. Let's find the, say, the three items that appear oftenest in the list you've made. It just might be a connection. First, though, I think we can rule out canned food, because there hasn't been any real trouble with commercially canned food for years. And it's impossible that all those people ate the same home canned stuff that might have gone bad. This is going to be tougher than I thought. The results of our detective work were peculiar, to say the least. But we did prove one thing. There were three food items to be suspected, because one of those three appeared in all the diets of the ones who ate at home. With a flourish of his pencil, Dr. Jarvis summed it up.
Well, here we are. Those poisoned people had either hamburger in some form, cream pie, or chocolate eclairs. Doesn't make sense.
Wait a minute, I've got an idea. I've been working on the ones who ate out, and all of them had one of those three.
Hold on a minute.
Wait till you hear this one. I've been doing the stores and the restaurants. Everybody that ate out went to the drugstore down on the corner.
This is beginning to add up to something.
Let me see your list, Joe.
No, the other one.
Uh-huh. All the pastry, the cream pies, and the chocolate eclairs came from one bakery.
Well, sure, and we have meatloaf, hamburgers, meatballs, and tamale pie, all made with ground meat from the same butcher shop.
You're sure of that?
Uh-huh.
Now all we have to do is to chase all over town to those various stores, trying to find out what and why.
Gosh, no you don't.
Don't what?
Don't have to chase all over town, or even this end of it. That bakery and the meat market and the drugstore where the people ate are all right together. Just four blocks down the street.
Say, wait a minute. If that's true, Jarvis, I think we might have the answer. Let's get going. Fast.
Come on, let's go. Come on.
As we drove the short distance to the shopping center, I got to thinking. You know, it's a funny thing about mysteries, especially complicated ones like this one, where people scattered over a wide area all come down with the same illness at once. At first, things don't even make sense. Look impossible, you might say. And then, with a bit of information added here and there, a dim pattern begins to take shape. Well, that's exactly what happened in the poison mystery this time. Here's what we knew. Three food items caused those people to become deathly ill. Well, two, really, because it occurred to me that the filling of cream pie and the filling of chocolate eclairs is the same. And the other was hamburger. Both items came from the same two stores. Those who had eaten at the drugstore had eaten either hamburger or the cream filling. What would be more logical than for the drugstore food to be purchased at the butcher shop next door and the bakery two doors down? So the pattern was now clear. Only one part of the mystery remained.
How could both the pastry and the hamburger become poisoned with the germs of salmonella? And as we drove up in front of the stores and parked, an almost forgotten item of my medical training popped into my mind. I was sure I had the answer. Well, as we gathered in my laboratory a little later, Sandy, Jill, Dr. Jarvis, and myself, we were a happy gang. There wouldn't be any more cases of food poisoning from that source, at least. Lost in thought, I heard Sandy ask,
"But gee, Dr. Tim, how come you went right into those stores and started looking for rats?"
"You sure fooled me."
"Well, as Dr. Jarvis could tell you as well as I, one of the commonest carriers of salmonella, the food poisoning bug, is rats and mice. A few of their droppings around a food store and, well, you've seen what happens."
"Oh, that's why we have inspections by the city and campaigns against rats and mice, even if you can't get results 100% of the time."
"But why would the cream filling in the hamburger be full of germs?"
"Well, you remember what I told you about cultures, the perfect material for bacteria to grow on?"
"Yeah."
"Sure."
"Well, two of the best cultures in the world for salmonella are cream fillings and ground meat, especially in a warm place like the bakery, or when left outside the refrigerator in a butcher shop. It's the perfect setup for an epidemic like ours."
"But why did those stores being right together give you the idea?"
"Elementary, my dear Sandy, elementary. It would be rather strange that two or three different sets of food poisoning would break out on the same day at widely separated spots. So figuring that adjoining buildings would offer plenty of opportunity for the same carriers to go back and forth freely, I apprehended the poisoners at large. It's a matter of get rid of the rats, get rid of the poisoners. And believe me, that's going to be done." This is Dr. Tim Detective, saying so long until next week at this same time, when Sandy, Jill, and I will bring you the exciting transcribed story I call The Mystery of the House That Jack Built.
Now for our last program for this week, we'll have The Challenge of the Yukon and The Ring on His Finger. This is from 1943.
The Challenge of the Yukon. On King! On you, Husky! King, the swiftest, strongest of Eskimo lead dogs, blazes the trail through storm and snow for Sergeant Preston as he meets The Challenge of the Yukon. Sergeant Preston was typical of the small band of Northwest Mounted Police who preserved law and order in the Yukon during the gold rush of 98. That was the year that brought over 50,000 men swarming into the Klondike region, and the greed for gold led to frequent violence and bloodshed. But in spite of the odds against them, the force preserved a splendid record in maintaining the right. The challenge of the North was answered, and justice ruled triumphant. Shortly after daybreak, two men stood watching a distant sled and dog team break tracks through the snow. Hidden from view behind two huge rocks, they waited, eyes cold with greed and watchfulness.
"See, I told you it wouldn't be long after daybreak."
"Yeah, you're right. Gotta hand it to you, Bert. You sure had this one studied up."
"The old man carrying that haul of dust, you think I'd take any chances? That's why we've been lucky. When you take time to plan, there aren't any mistakes."
ain't worrying none about the mistakes. All I care about is get my hands on as much gold that's mine for the taking.
You just be careful how you take it. As long as you stick with me, you won't have to worry about that noose waiting to drop over your head.
I ain't complaining. You can fill a poke faster this way than peddling beaver skins. How much do you calculate he's carrying?
Plenty. Thomas has been making this trip to the bank for a long time. Surprised nobody thought of this before. Got your gun ready?
Huh? Oh, sure. You can make him out pretty plain now.
Wait till he gets past the rocks.
You're taking a chance of him getting away, ain't you?
Not if we shoot fast enough. We'll never know what hit him.
All right. You're calling the cards. Your sister suspect anything?
Muriel? No. Now, remember what I said. Wait till he gets past the rocks.
I heard you. You ain't got far to mush, old timer.
See that gun on top of the sled? We want to get him before he has a chance to use it.
Come on, mush!
All right, Slim, let him have it. Get that dust and we'll clear out of here.
I don't like the idea of being around dead men too long myself.
He's carrying some of it.
Look at this.
Ooh, well.
What's that?
Oh, the old timer's poke. I'll just pocket it for my trouble. You got the rest of it?
Yeah. And believe me, I ain't ever seen so much dust in one hole in my life.
Come on, then.
What about the dogs?
Leave them.
Traveling with daylight, Sergeant Preston stopped a short time later at Bart Johnson's cabin, several miles north of Higby. It was Bart's sister, Muriel, who explained.
Yes, Bart was out early this morning.
Does he always make the round of his trap line so early?
Bart? Goodness, Sergeant, I never know whether he'll make his rounds early or late. But last night he mentioned he'd be gone before I'd have breakfast ready. I offered to get up early and get it for him, but he said not to bother. And I am anxious for him to come back.
Why?
Well, you see, today's Bart's birthday. No one pays much attention to birthdays up here in the Yukon, but I'm going to be married soon. Bart and I won't be together much longer, and here it is. I wanted to have this ring.
Say, that's a real present.
Bart's always liked it, so I thought I'd surprise him. Hope it fits. King likes it, doesn't he, Sergeant?
Quiet, King.
It isn't that I'm not delighted to see you, Sergeant, but I can't help wondering what brings you and King to our part of the Yukon.
I guess you might say the line of duty brings me here, Muriel.
Oh?
Isn't that Bart coming now? I thought I saw him.
You're right, it is Bart.
Muriel,
Hello, Bart.
Preston. Well, a little surprised to see you here.
I just thought I'd stop by.
Bart, I think you've forgotten something.
Forgotten something?
Yes. It's your birthday.
Oh. I don't keep track of them.
Your sister does.
Uh-huh. And I have a present for you.
Well, wait till I take up. Why, it's
a ring is a rare present in the North.
Put it on. It might not fit, you know.
All right. Hey, got it on, but I'll never get it off again.
Is it too tight?
Well, tight enough that you won't be able to change your mind and want it back. Oh. Where are you going, Monty?
Old King and I will be getting along.
Won't you stay? Bart, what's that fell out of your parka? It looks like a poke, an initial.
Why, Slim asked me to take it into Higby for him. Sorry you're leaving, Preston.
Yes. Well, goodbye, Muriel.
Goodbye, Sergeant. Come back again.
I expect to. Goodbye.
Bye.
All right, King, get the dogs up. On, King! On, you huskies!
As the great dog King led the Mountie's dog team, Preston's thoughts dwelt on Muriel and her brother Bart.
I'm sure he's tied up with those gold robberies. How to prove it? And Muriel, I'll be glad when that girl marries and has someone else to look after her. What's wrong, King? What is it, boy? Ho, ho, you husky. You lead the way, fella. Oh, nuzzling around in the... Well, that's Ray Thomas' dog team. But where... Ray, why don't we turn him... dead. So that's what you wanted me to see, King, huh? Those rocks concealed it. And that was why Bart had the poke initial RT. He's responsible for this. All right, King, I'm coming. Oh, there was another fellow. They ran out from behind the rocks, huh? They must have gotten all the gold Ray carried from those claims in the hills. Get the dogs up, King. This is one crime Bart Johnson's going to pay for.
Meanwhile, back at the Johnson cabin, Bart had watched from a window to see what trail Preston would take. Seeing him turn to the right, he knew it would only be an hour before the Monty would come on Ray Thomas, dead in the snow. He sent Muriel into town for supplies, and as her sled disappeared on the trail, the murderer worked feverishly. He rushed from the cabin to his sled, and driving the dogs mercilessly, fear of capture urging him on, he raced to his partner Slim.
Oh, ho, you Malamutes!
Bart, you're riding like you was
going to. I'll explain this to you later. Get your sled and follow me, and hurry.
Sure, but where are you going?
I told you, explain later. We'll both be dead men if Preston catches us.
Preston?
Yeah, now will you hurry?
Slim needed no further urging. The two men, Bart's sled cutting the trail, drove to the edge of Crystal Lake, where to Slim's amazement, Bart called a halt.
What are you going to do now? If you're in such a hurry,
and help me turn this sled over. There.
How about the dogs?
Leave them here. I'll toss this hat. There.
I don't get it.
You will. From here on, we'll ride the gates in your sled.
Mush, you Malamutes! Mush!
Sergeant Preston did go back to the cabin. Finding it empty, he prepared to leave just as Muriel came up the trail.
Sergeant Preston, back so soon?
Where is Bart, Muriel?
Oh, I don't know. He was here when I left.
I see. All right, King, come on. Get the dogs up.
Leaving again?
Yes, I'm looking for Bart, you see.
He'll be back. He might be making a round of the trap line.
I don't think so. When I left here on my way to Higby, I was about halfway to town when I found Ray Thomas on the trail. Murdered.
Ray Thomas?
He'd been murdered and robbed.
But I don't see
that,
what...
That poke Bart dropped was initialed RT.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Muriel. I'm ready, King. Bye.
Goodbye, Sergeant. Good luck.
On, King! On, you husky!
Approaching Crystal Lake, the Mountie's sharp eyes sighted the overturned sled before the dogs came abreast of it.
Ho, King! Ho, you huskies! Well, that's Bart's sled. And his hat. Must have been taking the trail fast and then... Oh, King, too bad we haven't eyes to see the bottom of this lake.
In Gates City, a few days later, the two killers, Bart Johnson and his partner Slim, stood at the bar in the Golden Peacock Cafe. Neither of them were recognizable as the men who had fled the law. To those in the cafe, they were just two strangers.
Sure was a good idea, Bart, disguising ourselves like this.
Yeah, I wasn't anxious to feel that rope around my neck.
What made you so sure Preston knew
it? His eyes, when I dropped that poke, made me as sure as I'll ever be. We found Thomas. Well, that'd be all he'd need. He knew something when he came to the cabin in the first place.
Well, your own mother wouldn't recognize you and they'd get him.
Hey!
Yep?
One more here.
How about you?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Make that two.
Right.
Tomorrow we'll start for Skagway in the States.
And what about Your sister.
I can't be worrying about her.
Yeah, here you are, strangers.
Always wanted to get back to the States. Look, you see that?
Yeah.
Come on, let's get out of
no,
here.
No, 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 wait a minute. Take it easy. You'll never know. It's just staying like you are.
Well, Red, how's business?
Well, ain't to blame, Sergeant. How you been?
Just fine.
Say, I heard about poor Ray.
Yes. Shot in the back. Never knew what hit him, I guess.
Well, somebody made a nice haul. Ray was carrying a heap of dust. Got any idea who done it?
I did have, but it's too... What
you looking at, Sergeant?
That man holding the glass down at the end of the bar. You ever seen him before?
No. Them two are strangers, as far as I know. Why?
I'm going down there, Ray. There's a back entrance to the cafe, isn't there?
Yeah. You leaving then?
No, I'm not. But those two friends might try to. King, you go to the back entrance and wait there. Better show them where it is, Red.
Yeah, sure. Come on, King. Come on, boy.
You two boys are strangers in town, aren't you?
What difference does that make, Monty?
Strange. I have a feeling we've met before.
Must be thinking of somebody else.
Maybe. The man I'm thinking of wore a ring just like that one. Let's see it, stranger.
I won this ring in a poker game. Now, if you have no objections, Marty...
I'd like to see that ring. Hell with the light, the stone should show...
I'm not taking it off. So long, mister. Come on, Frank.
This isn't so long, Bart.
Why, you... Hey, put that gun away, you. I don't want no shooting in here.
You heard what he said, Bart.
The back door, Slim.
You won't get out that way. My helper will stop you.
Your helper. Come on, Slim.
If anyone here makes a move, it'll be his last one.
It wasn't such a smart bluff, Monty. Yeah, your helper.
King's teeth and old bluff. Adam King.
Look out, Bart.
Stop him, boy.
Take that, Marvin. Put the gun out of my supply, will you?
Let go of my arm. He's tearing my arm apart.
All right, King. I guess you've had enough, Bart. Stand right where you are, Slim.
You win, Monty.
The law always wins. I thought you'd drown when I found your sled by the lake. But that ring on your finger gave you away. Put these handcuffs on them, Red. Yes, King. The case is closed.
Challenge of the Yukon, a copyrighted feature of the Challenge of the Yukon Incorporated, brought to you every Saturday at this time, originated in the transcription studios of WXYZ Detroit. The characters and events in tonight's drama were fictitious. Bill Morgan speaking. This is the Michigan Radio Network.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.